Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Extremis.
There you go.
Extremis. Yeah. Extremis is cool.
No, it's not. It's the.
I'm excited about that new chamber too. It's gonna be cool.
Hello. Oh, there we go.
Oh, the robed chamber.
Yeah, the wizards.
Is it the Chamber of Secrets?
It is the Chamber of Secrets.
Sigmar Heldenhammer and the Chamber of Secrets.
The Chamber of wizards and fucking crossbows that shoot exploding maces.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's what we need. We need another chamber. No, Extremis sucks because it's like the most expensive. It's the simultaneously the most expensive and least expensive because you only really run like five figures in that
army. It's a very small army.
Yeah, you draw a dragon and then you run two smaller dragons. Yeah,
I like that. I really like that two-man dragon unit though. I think if I played Stormcast, I would always have them.
I hate those dragon sculpts though.
I think they're okay.
Nah.
They're those weird. They're actually not as cool as the Griff Riders.
Yeah.
The old Empire Griff Riders.
Or the new Griff Riders. The Demigriffs, the Paladors.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ah, the Paladors.
Yeah, those guys are cool. There's a bunch of free people's buffs in the new edition as well. So I think there's gonna be there's gonna be some Empire armies floating around.
I would love to see them with their naming scheme. Like some of the guys are called Stevedores.
Nice.
So like dock workers, but they also have your name in it as well.
Yes.
And Stevedores.
I'm in.
The Wire season 2. Is with the Stevedores, I think.
I don't know. I haven't seen. I watched like the first three episodes of The Wire. And I'm like, this show's really good, and then I just like never picked it up again.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host Joe, and with me as always is my co-host Steve.
Welcome to the HBO Hour, where we talk about various old HBO shows that most people have already seen.
You ever seen Dream On?
No.
Love Dream On. Brian Benben. Weird old TV show clips. Sex and nudity in the 1980s.
Finally.
Yes. Finally. No. The. We're sitting very close together. I don't know how I feel about this.
Do you like it?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm worried because we have the giant goldfish tank behind us. So if you hear like a constant hum in the background, it's the goldfish
tank. Those are my goyles.
Your goyles. And there's the air conditioner.
Hey, that's never going to go away.
That's fine by me. I'm okay by that.
This weather isn't fit for no man nor beast.
Ugh. We had like, I don't know, a week of 90 degree temperatures, and all of a sudden on the
with
week,
infinite humidity.
Yeah, and then on the weekend they're like, nah, we're just gonna do 75 degrees,
but also still infinite humidity.
It's not as bad as it was.
And I yesterday was pretty gross, but I haven't been out today.
Yeah, yesterday like the humidity was making me nauseous. I was sitting at my desk at work going, ugh. Yeah, which is not really different than what I do most of the time at work.
Just a different reason for the nausea.
Just a different reason for the nausea. Yeah,
it makes sense.
So, guys, I'm sorry about this, but this is going to be another Games Workshop heavy cast, mainly because we didn't cover a ton of stuff on the last cast that we should have covered.
Also, a bunch of stuff was revealed. Like, the big rules changes came out after
the cast. But, I mean, it's rules. We don't talk about rules.
Everyone wants rules to talk about rules.
No one wants to talk about it. Rules are secondary to, like...
I think you'll find that the application of the rules in Paragraph 3 of Section D are extremely important, and everyone cares.
The only reason why people like to listen to a rules on a podcast is to either, like, it's, like, gotta be short and punchy, like, hey... You're going to get to use this magic item, and it causes everything to explode on the table, and you automatically win. And everyone's like, oh, that's a pretty good magic item. Nice. I like this hint. Subscribe.
that's a quality tip and or trick.
Yes, or if you spend 20 minutes bitching about a rule. That's the other thing that people really like.
Good call.
So, like, if you go on the Shadespire Facebook page, and you get to see people still bitching about the relics nerf, still to this point. At this point, I'm just laughing at these people, because I'm like, your entire game was based off of a broken deck.
Yeah.
And you can't get over the fact that you can't auto-win a game anymore.
Yeah, I mean, so, you can still play the stall deck. It's still good.
People still play it.
Yeah, it's good. I just won another tournament with it.
Yeah. Steve won a second Shadespire tournament. This time,
why can't I hold all these trophies?
One time, this time there were four players at the tournament.
No, it was about the same. It was a little bit smaller than the other one, because that was one of the day. It was like fucking like 95 degrees.
It was also like Memorial Day weekend.
It was Memorial Day weekend. Well, there was a bunch of people who signed up for it, but I guess they all contacted Tim like long after the fact, and they were just like, "Yeah, I didn't want to go out.
It was too hot."
It was incredibly hot.
It's too hot. It's only 95 degrees, too, so it was
I wasn't planning to go to Gen Con, but I might go out just for the Grand Clash.
Just for Grand Clash?
I might go out just to try to win the Grand Clash at Gen Con.
Yes. Well, I guess we could just go into our first story, considering Shade Spire. It was revealed just this weekend at UK Games Expo, or Gamespo, as I like to call
it. The extra cards are going to be a pack.
It's going to be a deck of cards you'll be able to buy, pack, maybe. Yeah.
There was a bigger group of cards revealed than the original set.
Yeah.
So the speculation was either there was going to be a cards-only set, or there were going to be 10 warbands. So we now have been confirmed that there's a cards-only set.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy a deck, and...
Leader-focused.
So you'll be able to mostly upgrade your leaders.
Yeah, a lot of the cards are...
Will I get a leader bean card?
Well, you could have a leader bean.
This bean looks like the leader.
Bean! There's a lot of leader-focused ploys, it seems, as well, because there was one that, hoses a leader. It's like... choose a warband leader. Its next activation, it only has one dice for anything.
Ooh.
So that's a pretty good nerf. The generic objective was your leader gets attacked three times. Doesn't say hit or miss, just attacked three times. So if you make a really tanky, like maybe Fugil or the Orc War Boss, you just walk in, get attacked, don't die, you get glory. Ooh. So there's some interesting stuff in there. And then the other card they revealed was for the Skaven. And it was for Scritch, who's the second in command, and it gives him the ability to bring your Skaven back. So I actually think that card is the most relevant card that they've revealed, simply because the current popular trend for the Skaven warband is to bet it all on Scritch. Just bet it all and have him run around and kill shit because he's very strong as a model. But if he dies, you're really fucked because you lose a lot of your utility. So having a backup plan where you could be like, well, I'll try this guy now. It's pretty good.
That does sound interesting. I gotta play more.
It's really good, dude.
I know. I've played it. It's fine.
It's so good.
It's. I worry that it would soon get away from its current. It'll just get away from itself soon. And Games Workshop, maybe after the next season, is gonna be like, we're not supporting this anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a sweet game.
Yeah. Come and goes, and then people will be sitting there going, "Remember Shade Spire? That was the best game ever."
Yeah, I don't know.
Games Workshop did.
I think they have. I think they're having too much success with their organized play to necessarily drop it.
Could be.
I mean, the game was having 100-man tournaments very quickly, which is kind of unheard of for Workshop games. So, yeah.
Well, that's what I say. It's like Games Workshop though does not make logical decisions.
They've been pretty good lately.
Yes, but I mean. We're always waiting
for
that
shoe
drop. Yeah. Where all of a sudden they're they press the button and the thing flips over from Warhammer to
Soviet Russia.
Soviet Russia, yeah.
That's what we wanted you to think.
The 8th edition rulebook all of a sudden just turns into the 5th edition rulebook and you're like, yeah! Gross.
The hammer and sickle just appears on it.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Because then it would be a Tau Codex.
Nice.
Yes.
For the greater good.
Big old Tau titties.
Sunishi titties are better
than Tau titties. Memes.
It's an internet meme.
That's the internet. That's the Shade Spire news. All the news that's fit to print about Shade Spire. We're getting a pack of cards, people. Raise up the flag. Let the queen know. What? There's a new Shade Spire card pack?
Dude, you know the queen.
Get me Jervis Johnson.
You know the queen's pissed about her relic decks getting banned.
I don't know why I turned into an Australian kid all of a sudden.
I don't know. It was weird.
Dad, what?
$900 dues.
He said he was from the Water Commission.
Hey, you know, the other day I was able to correctly identify the difference between a New Zealand and an Australian accent. I was very happy with myself.
One just turns all of the vowels into an I.
And I was that's not Australian.
That's New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
fun. Do we have people from New Zealand who listen, right?
Yeah, Andrew McCall.
Oh, Andrew's from New Zealand?
Andrew McCall very specifically is from New Zealand. I don't know about any other listeners.
But what about Australians? We have Australian listeners. We have Australian
listeners. Yeah, I don't
listeners.
Know. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know. I would like to see our Australian listeners battle out
We have a lot of UK listeners. Then we've got Andrew McCall as our designated Kiwi.
Yeah.
And then we have Angel Baker as our American.
Yeah. Okay. That's it.
And Captain Zork is...
Captain Zork's Canadian.
Ah, Canadians.
Oh, Canada.
Our home and
gentle
something
maple
land.
Syrup.
I should know that because I've been to enough hockey games to should know what the Canadian national anthem is at
you
this
blew
point.
It.
I blew it. Yeah.
Actually, it's humorous that you're wearing that shirt because I watched a very short Instagram video yesterday with a little cockatiel bird in front of the I Want to Believe poster, and they were playing the X-Files theme, and the bird was trying to whistle the theme but was totally off key. It was very humorous. And they
very
were just like,
humorous.
And they were just like, eh, close enough.
See, you botched the transition and the transition though, Peach. You have to say, speaking of Canadian TV Canadians, we have the X-Files.
Oh, is it a Canadian TV show?
It was filmed in Vancouver for many, many years.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Then it went to Los Angeles, I think, in season 5 or 6.
Los Angeles.
Yes. But yes, it was a very famous Canadian. It's one of those Canadian shows that it's like, if you watch enough TV, like I watch a shit ton of TV, you start seeing the same actors pop up in everything. That's because everything is filmed in Vancouver. And they all work in Vancouver.
Well, that was like in the 90s anime dub craze, all of the voice actors are from Canada. So you'd be like, that's the same guy, that's the same guy, that's the same guy. And they're all from Canada.
Yeah. And they'd also say, get oot.
Get oot.
Get oot.
Get oot. What was that? What did you say? Sorry?
Oh, sorry.
Look how this idiot says sorry.
that was a
gag in Super Troopers 2.
Ah, sorry.
Yeah, they're like, sorry, it's our problem. And they're like, what did you say? Sorry?
Did you, have you seen Deadpool 2 yet?
Yes.
You saw Deadpool 2.
Yeah, Deadpool 2 with Super Troopers 2.
Yes, yeah.
And it was a fantastic double feature.
Have you seen Solo yet?
I've not seen
Solo. Have you soloed Solo?
I've not seen Solo. I heard Solo is, eh.
It's a fine action-adventure movie. That's all I have to say. Like, it's not going to change the world, people.
Yeah.
You could definitely tell that it was reshot.
Because it was directed by two people, right?
Yeah. Well, it was directed by Lord and Miller, and apparently they were like, the script is terrible. We're just going to let people improvise and make jokes and go way over budget. I don't know about the way over budget thing. But then the guy who wrote the script, Lawrence Kasdan, and his son, I think it's Jake Kasdan, got all mad because they were like, and so my conspiracy theory is that Jake Kasdan, this was his first big Hollywood movie that he wrote with his dad, and that because of all the improvising, they weren't going to get a written by credit or they were going to get like a story by credit, so it's different for the Writers Guild.
Okay.
So they got really mad about it and complained to Kathleen Kennedy, and Kathleen Kennedy's like, I'm too old for this. Get rid of these young whippersnappers. She's not that old. She's only like 50-something. But yeah, and they kicked off the two guys and brought in Ron Howard and said, direct this.
Happy Days this
word
shit.
Word for word. And they did. You could tell, like, some people would be like, I cannot believe this. Because, you know, when you're acting, you don't necessarily going to read it word for word. You want to put your own inflection in it. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, I can't believe this. And they'd be like, no. You say, I cannot believe that, because that is what's in the script. And that's what Ron Howard was doing. Ron Howard was sitting there counting his money, going, yes.
Just counting the stacks and then looking up occasionally and being like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Action is they're all on green screen, because that's what you do nowadays anyway. Yeah. But it was fine. It was. It had its moments. It was.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it was.
Eh, yeah. I mean, it's fine.
it's movie.
It's weird how like Star Wars is treating all the robots now. The robots are weird now, because like with Rogue One, you got K2SO, who's like this like sarcastic robot, and now this other one, you got like this crazy super, it's not feminist robot, but it's like all about equal rights for robots going on. I mean, I suppose I just put feminist in my head because it's voiced by a woman. So, but I mean, it's like this rabble rouser, like robots, you know, droids deserve equal rights and everything. And I like that. And I'm like,
just like Futurama.
Yeah. I'm like, where did these robots come from? What's going on here?
I think those were always the robots in the EU, though. Like the EU robots were always like that.
Yeah, but the EU sucked.
Well, sure. It did.
The EU was terrible.
But I'm telling you, it's leaking into the current, actual
Star
Wars.
There's a lot of like cartoon references in Solo. So if you like the Clone Wars cartoon, which I absolutely did not, because who could love that animation style? It's awful.
I didn't watch it. I think Genndy Tartakovsky's style looks really good in 2D and really bad
in
3D. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the same, like the Clone Wars, not the Clone Wars, the
Rebels.
Rebels. I like that show a little bit better. And I think that
I heard the show is better.
Yeah, the show is much better. I still don't like that art style though. Mm-hmm. It's like, nyeh, nyeh.
But yeah, I mean, the best droid I knew of was always from the Knights of the Old Republic games, the Vidya games, the murder droid.
The murder droid.
HK-47, he was fucking great. He called everyone meatbag.
It did.
Yes, there have always been weird droids, but they've never been in the actual movies. Yeah. Because you have to think, the only droid characters from the movies is one character that just beeps and boops, and fucking Anthony Daniels, who is like, oh, heavens to Betsy.
Well, that's the droid I like. And that's
fine. He's still around.
And that droid who tortures the other droids, yes, in Jabba's palace.
Laughing. Which is, why was I programmed to feel pain?
I know. And that's, you know, I don't care either way. I'm too old to complain about Star Wars. That's just what I'm saying. I'm just too old to complain about Star Wars. And people complaining about things, let me tell you, if you have not been reading Games Workshop's new Stormcast webcomic.
Oh my god.
You are missing out on comic gold.
I have never seen people more butthurt over a stupid 4-panel webcomic in my life.
And that's just it. It's dumb. It's bad. Like, if people were complaining that it wasn't funny, that's one thing. But people were not complaining that it wasn't funny.
No.
They were complaining about, like, the fact that... Well, it was the two characters from the Shadespire Warband. It's the Angrabad or Angrahard and the other one.
Bright Shield
and the other one, the guy with the big hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was those two, and Bright Shield is a black female, and people lost their goddamn minds.
Because also one of the human characters is not another pasty white dude.
Yeah, it's a pasty white female, but, yes, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and apparently that's a large political statement these days.
It has to be. And I don't want to play this game with the current player base. Like,
let's just get rid of them.
Let's just get rid of them. Like, just get rid of these guys. Bring in some women. It doesn't matter. They don't have to be any women in particular. Just bring in some women, because you know what? Guys will start changing the way that they act and appear if there's women in the hobby.
I mean, you can also just you can mostly just shout down shitlords, because people aren't going to change.
People don't change.
You have to shout down the shitlords, get them out, and then you can replace them with whoever you want.
Are they shitlords or are they incels?
They're shitlordian incels.
Shitlordian incels.
Shit cells.
That incel thing is weird. Very weird. I don't totally get it, but I get it in terms of, like, oh, you're just an awful person.
Yeah, they're just a fucking nerd.
Nerd.
Like, that's the new nerd. apparently they shoot you now.
Am I a Chad?
I guess. I guess the bar has fallen so low. You're now a Chad.
Nice. Sweet.
So an actual Chad, I don't know. I guess he would be 200% muscle. Like, you ever seen those dogs that have that, like, muscle growth thing where they have that, like, disorder where they're, like, muscle upon muscle and they look like a fucking bodybuilder? That would be a Chad.
Yeah. So, I mean,
those dogs are really cute.
And I like what you say is, like, the comic is so absolute. And that's what I was kind of wondering, is because most web comics or comics in general are making some statement, whether it's being subversive or in order to be funny, you have to have humor. You have to create some sort of subversive element to be humorous.
Right. The gag, the entire gag of their little webcomic is, like, the Stormcast being, like, in the real, like, Warhammer universe, like, taking the thing seriously, and then they flash cut to the real world, and, like, it's silly. Like, the first one where, like, Bright Shield was like, we're actually going into battle. We're going to be for Sigmar. And they're like, yes, for glory, only the faithful. And there's, like, the big explosion of lightning, and then just, like, got the dude, like, putting it on the board, like, like, he's, like, just putting the Warhammer figure down. Yeah. And this one was them, like, talking about, like, we've been in this battlefield before. It's like, oh, perhaps one of our previous lives have died. I don't know. It just seems so familiar. And the lady's like, you got to update your terrain collection because it's the same old tree. Like, that's it. Whether or not you think that's funny.
I think instead of putting the comic there, they should just have you describing the comic, because it's funnier than the actual comic
just
itself.
Me, like, just drawings of me.
This will be the Game Classy video thing that we'll do for YouTube. It's like, we'll show the comic, and then we'll have you explain the comic with the little figures to, like, enact it out and make the noises. And so that way it's like, oh, I get why it's funny now.
Yeah, like, right, but that's the whole thing. There is nothing beyond a very simple, like, hey, it's kind of funny because you're playing with toys.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing.
The thing I love about this is that people aren't realizing that Games Workshop is legit trying to create a different environment than what it currently has for its player base.
Right.
That's what this whole
thing is
about. They're
trying to eliminate the toxicity of you fucking neckbeards.
Yeah. And that's what people, I think maybe
But not you, neckbeard. You're okay. It's the other neckbeard I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm painting your silver pants blue.
Yeah, and these people get so upset about it. Like, just so upset. Like, it's like, we're being cast out.
You know what? If you feel like you're being cast out by this, you should be.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is they're trying to reach out to children, and they've created a book series called Warhammer Adventures.
They're good.
I haven't read anything.
They're actually really good.
So it's basically...
I mean, obviously, they're not for adults, but they're very solid.
In the grim darkness of the far future...
There's only adorable children.
There's only adorable children and cartoony Necrons.
Yes, they're really good.
So they're doing two. They're doing a 40K series and a fantasy series. And it's like, you know, they got the kids on the cover, and one of the kids is like obviously a tech priest or something, or a neophyte or something, because he had his arm cut off and replaced with a cybernetic arm.
Yeah, and the other one's a Stormcast.
Yeah, one of the kids is a Stormcast, and there's like a rogue trader kid, and they're probably going to meet up with some Eldar children or something like that. Yeah, and by Eldar children, they're like 500 years old, but they still look like children. God, I could write these fucking books. That'd be awesome. I'd write the books and just have them be all like kitty and wonderful.
They're just cute little kid books.
And at the end, a Necron just tears off the kid's flesh and wears it as a cape.
I was going to say, at the end, the Imperium kids kill the kill the Xenos kids.
Yeah.
Like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what you have to
purge
do.
Purge the unclean.
You purge the unclean.
That's right.
It smells like heresy in here. I wonder if there's going to be some chaos children. Some chaos kids. Some slanishy demon children. That'll work.
They don't do slanish too much. It'll be corn.
Are those the cornate chain axes?
I got a kitty chain axe.
Those are the cornate chain axes.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're doing these books, and it's like, I'm excited because I'm like, well, maybe my kid might like to read these. You know, it'd be good to share the hobby. And of course, there are people like,
children.
Which is true.
Just foaming vomit in their mouth. And it's like, have you ever been in a Games Workshop store? There's always some weird kids.
Which makes it awful, at least for an adult player like myself, that there's these kids there. But you know what? You have to accept that these kids will grow up and probably be decent players at some point.
I'm totally okay with kids being in the game store as long as they are above the age threshold of being old enough to realize that they can't just go over and pick up your models.
Yeah, oh, that's a good point.
Once they're past that point, like once they're past the like, oh, cool model, grab, they're okay. I am okay with them.
Yeah.
Anything below that where they're just like wandering around like I was at the game store the other day, not the other day, like a couple months ago, and some fucking troglodyte woman was letting her fucking child wander around, and her kid just like walks over to my fucking casualty pile and just picks up one of my models, and I'm just like, I'm like pointing at her mom, I'm like, excuse me. And I was like, oh, and she put my mouth, and I was like, I almost punted your kid. Get your kid the fuck out of here. I was very belligerent towards that woman.
I was very belligerent towards that woman. Yeah. And then I complained about the Warhammer Adventures series.
Yeah. Well, if you have a little kid like that, don't let your shitter run around the fucking place where there's models.
Yeah. There's just some effort that goes into my models.
Like, I don't even care. I don't even care if it was shittily painted, like barely assembled. You don't let your little kid wander around grabbing people's shit.
You just don't let your kid wander around.
Right. That's true, too. But, I mean, also, if that kid was the appropriate age for the game store, that wouldn't have happened.
Like, my son would currently be dressed... Like, if I brought him to a Games Workshop store, my son would be dressed up like Hannibal Lecter in the first Silence of the Lambs movie.
Yes. And just in a little cart.
Yeah, in a little cart. I'd wheel him in. Because he touches everything.
There you go.
Yeah. We went to Mitsuo Market, and he was running around just pulling shit off the shelves. And I'm like, you little shit. So I grabbed him around the waist, and I'm carrying him around like a sack of potatoes.
Like a duffel bag.
And he's going like, wah! I have to take him outside.
That's awful.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you need one of those. You need a papoose. And you need a papoose that ties him down like Hannibal Lecter. And you just strap him to your back.
Yeah, like I'll be like a Grey Knight. Like
you'll be a Grey Knight Dreadnought.
Yeah. He's 2 years old. It's like, there's a point with children between, like, I think it's like 8 or 9 months and like 3 years where you just can't do anything with them because they literally have no idea how to function in the human world. Because they're like, I have abilities and powers.
And it's like, and I can shit my pants.
Yeah, it's like a raw, untrained wizard who just has like access to the magic, and they're just like, dun dun da 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 da. And then the older witch has got to be like, no, you're tampering with powers you don't understand.
And of course, the first thing that wizard would do is make his dick grow, not fucking animate brooms.
Yeah,
Like, come on. Like, the first spell you're going to do is be like, so, like, I guess the Sorcerer's Apprentice really should have been Mickey Mouse growing a gigantic dick that was, like, wandering around that fucking tower. Like he, it's growing too big. It's getting out of my control.
Maybe for the next Fantasia movie, you can have that added in.
Nice.
Yeah. So, nice. With Sorcerer's Apprentice 2, the Sorcerer Apprentice's dick.
Nice. Dick's crawling along the floor like an inchworm.
Then he like goes to cut it off and then grows another dick and it just keeps going.
Army of dicks.
And they're all marching with like the little balls of
feet.
Yeah,
the balls of their feet. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. We're all good here. Yeah. We're good. Wrap it up. All right. So yeah, that happened. And there was also some other announcements. There was Epic Armageddon is coming back. Warhammer Epic has returned.
Adeptus Titanicus.
Where they were like, hey guys, you liked Epic, right?
Those Titans look really good.
Everyone's like, yeah, I fucking love Epic. I still got my Epic army somewhere. You might want to dust it off. And I'm like, go get my Epic army. And I'm like, and the dust gets blown off of it. And they're like, because we're going to bring back Epic. And we're like all excited. And it's like, so take out those models and throw them in the trash because they're the wrong scale, motherfuckers.
It's all about Titans.
Titans that are way bigger than the Titans you have. And we're like, oh.
But that's okay because I'd rather play a game about Titans than Epic.
Yeah, I mean,
because the Titans fucking sucked in Epic. They were garbage.
Yeah. It was all about infantry in Epic. Yeah.
So now you can actually play a game that's about the Titans, which is the thing that would draw most people to Epic. You'd be like, oh, look at all the cool Titans. Yeah, they suck.
I mean, the Epic rule set for like actual Epic 40,000 was pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to say. I mean, there were problems with it, but it was pretty good. But yeah, the new Epic Adeptus Titanicus, they basically just took the Forge World models, downscaled them. They're pretty big, though. I mean, I would say that, like, the Emperor Titan is probably equivalent of about a 54-millimeter scale fig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a good size.
And it goes all the way down to the Night Titans, which are about 28 mil. The Night Titans used to be 28 mil in the old game, too, but they were a little smaller. I mean, like, scale creep and everything like that. So, I mean, maybe they're about, I'll say, 32 mil.
They're heroic.
The heroic scale, 32-millimeter heroic. So you got all these, the fun new Titans that are going to come out. And they haven't said anything, but I will put money on, after all the Titans are released, if they're still going to continue with it, the next thing will be super heavy. So it'll be like Fel Blades.
Bane Blades and all that, Fel Glaive.
And
I mean, also they could do the other factions' Titans as well.
Glaive. Because
every faction has Titans.
Huh? Oh, yeah, like Eldar and shit.
Yeah.
But this is taking place during the Heresy. So Horus Heresy, the rules are essentially all...
So it'll just be...
Space Marine Guard Adeptus Mechanicus.
There you go. Like, so there'll be Chaos ones.
Yes, there will be Chaos ones. They already say there's Chaos, Renegade Titans.
But the Renegados.
Renegados. But the thing with the Chaos Titans in Heresy is they're not all, like, super Chaos-y with, like super stupid and goofy like are in regular 40K, which is the reason I can't play...
There's bad guy Titans.
I can't play bad, like, a Chaos army in 40K because it looks so fucking stupid.
Well, I mean, all the official Chaos Titan models don't have anything weird. They look like a regular Titan except they have that, like, Chaos filigree. The banners, like, I don't know,
with the 8-pointed star.
Yeah, all of the like goofy, like there's like an arm growing out of my Titan. That's all people's custom shit.
Yeah, and they're dumb for doing
that. It's not an actual model.
I'm gonna take an $800 model and ruin it.
There is the best thing is the fucking that like the Scooty Puff Junior corn tank with the dude's torso and thing. They actually sell Forge World sells official bottom legs for that guy, and he looks awesome.
Yeah,
when you have the legs on him.
Yeah, Scooty Puff. Yeah, that was a dumb model.
But the top half was so cool, and turns out if you give him sweet looking legs, he's a cool fucking model.
I always liked the corn brass scorpion. That was always the one I liked.
That's a cool model too.
Yeah. Because they use the chameleon paints on that, and it looks super good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, speaking of painting, I have an Instagram now.
Instagram.
You can look for me under Game Classy Joe. So I did, and the Games Workshop official tweeted back at me. They want to use one of my pictures in their official thingy. So I'm excited about that. Maybe it'll go up next week.
Behold.
Yeah, because they're doing all night, because they're prepping for like the big Night Titan release. So they did all Night Titans this week, or the Night Codex or whatever it is. So I think they'll do the Armagers soon, which will make me happy. But yeah, I'm excited about that. So look for me on the Warhammer official page. Maybe, unless they're just like cock teasing me.
They might be.
Yeah, because I'm just like, oh, these fucking Titans. Titans are really not that hard to paint.
They're mostly just big flat surface.
Yeah, people who like the big stuff, it's just like, it's all airbrush, dude.
Yeah,
like,
they're hard to brush paint if you've never painted a big model before.
If you've if you have an airbrush, they're the easiest thing in the world to fucking paint. It's all decals. And as I said on the previous podcast, I love doing decals.
Remove the decal.
Remove the decals. I'm just gonna put the big decal.
You can do them with hand brushing as well, but they're like a different. There's like it's like a lot of like dry brushing, wet brushing, and washing to make it like look proper. It looks cool though.
By the end of like the whole process, you're just beat. You're just
wish I had an airbrush.
She got an airbrush.
You're all sweaty. You're like, oh, the model looks nice, but I wish I had an airbrush.
And then like someone goes like looks at it and they go, oh, you did a really good job. I bet you would have looked better with an airbrush. And you're like, no! You throw the Titan.
It's over.
It's all over. So what else? Oh, yeah, the Adeptus Titanicus. It looks like it's be fine. Like, all the terrain and everything looks fucking sweet.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Did I talk about this in the previous cast with Epic? Like, there was So Games Workshop essentially discontinued Epic. They didn't want nothing to do with it anymore after, like, I don't know, 2010.
Epic like, Armageddon, it's gone.
We're, like, done. We're not selling any of this shit anymore. It's all discontinued. So people were like, well, we still like playing Epic because we're just going to make our own models. And so they basically just made their own models for Epic. And they were sweet. Like, they were, like, professional sculptors. They would commission people to sculpt, like, the new models that would come from Forge World. So, like, if you wanted a Damocles, they would be like someone would sculpt a Damocles rhino and they would cast it and they would sell it. And it was like, it wasn't like anything official. Like, we're selling this on a website. It would just be like they would go on like a board or something or other and be like, and someone would be like, hey, where'd you get the Damocles? And he's like, well, I sell them for $5 a piece. And they're like, I would like 10 of those Damocles. And they would sell it like that. But apparently Games Workshop got very upset about that. And we're like, no, you can't sell this thing for a game that doesn't exist. I understand protecting your IP and everything like that. And they don't want anyone to get in. They don't want to have another
chapter house.
Get another chapter house problem. But at the same time, it's kind of like, yeah, come on, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if they ever came down to it, like, they could say, like, we had no idea this was happening. And then we're like, we're putting a ban on it right now. But, also, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, touch the nose type thing. But they don't do anything with it. So, like, you have, like, some people who have it. Like, it's this whole system where you have to, like, post your stuff to a board. And then you kind of have to, like, know the password.
The clandestine epic sellers.
Yeah, like, there's, like, a whole thing to order to get these, like,
super
cool
models. You gotta know the secret knock.
You gotta know the secret knock, and you gotta know a handshake, and you gotta show your balls online and everything else like that.
Nice. And you have to have the right ball shaved, but the left one is hairy.
Yeah, exactly. So that way they're like, this guy's okay.
This guy's legit.
This guy's not Jervis.
This guy shaved his left ball. He's a narc.
He's a narc. Wait, the picture just took it in mirror mode.
Yeah, it just reversed it. No.
It's like, wait a second. This guy didn't shave his balls at all. This is Jervis Johnson. Oh, that's another thing, too. Speaking of Jervis Johnson, they started a official Warhammer podcast, too. Stormcast, which is what we're going to call this podcast. We're going to call this Game Classy Stormcast.
I listened to the first one. I liked it. But it's only 16 minutes.
Yeah. Well, they do three. They're doing three a week.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be like a 45-minute podcast.
Okay. They're just splitting it up.
Which is kind of dumb, but whatever. I mean, in all honesty, listening to 45 minutes of guys ranting about tabletop games would just be awful. So that's why we do it in an hour, generally.
That's right. 45 minutes is just not enough.
Not enough time for us to bitch and moan about it. No, it's fine. They talk. That's like if you want to listen to something about where people talk about rules, go listen to that. Because they talk about like the summoning rules and stuff
Which
that.
I was super happy about because I wanted to hear, you know, I like hearing about the second edition stuff because I'm very excited about Age of Sigmar 2.
I think summoning is probably going to break the game. And here's my reason why. Not every army can summon. So essentially,
actually,
all of the armies that don't currently have a way to summon are being tweaked to have that.
Well, if they do, that's one thing because you know that's gonna suck for certain armies if they cannot summon.
Because the majority, like every Grand Alliance can summon for sure.
Yes.
Like, period. So like,
if you want to summon some skinks and you're a Fire Slayer player, you could do that.
Yeah. The big thing is that's why the new Stormcast being mages makes sense because I guarantee they're gonna have some summoning. Because almost all of the Order armies can ally.
They summon penises on the battlefield. Done. Done.
Penis is out of control.
They're big black Mickey Mouse penises with like the little ears on the top.
The mouse ears, yeah. Of course.
And the testicles are red with like the buttons on there, like the pants.
No, the white gloves.
Oh, the white gloves instead? Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. I was like thinking like the shorts.
Yeah,
but...
no, because that's their locomotion, so.
Oh, okay. I think that's creepier, but
yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. So like the Deepkin has no summoning, but the Deepkin can ally with Stormcast. So if the new Stormcast have summoning, you can be like, whoop, just grab up summoner Stormcast and boom, you're summoning.
Yeah, because all the cast is going to be, every cast faction is going to be able to summon.
At first I was a little worried about like how summoning works, but all of the spells that are just like roll two dice, summon units, those are gone.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing that made summoning busted was the way summoning worked. It was just cast a spell, make units appear. Everything's being changed to cost a resource. So like the Nurgle stuff is like you have to spend the contagion points to summon the Khorne blood tithe. You have to spend the blood points. They're adding like pleasure points for Slaanesh.
Well, yeah, and you have to do certain things in order to get the points. So for Slaanesh is you have to cause wounds to hear, and you have to cause wounds to heroes, but not kill them.
And take wounds and not die.
Yeah, take wounds, not die. And like for Tzeentch, you have,
I don't know what Tzeentch is.
Yeah, Khorne, you just have to kill stuff.
Yeah, Khorne is like when shit dies.
Yeah, and it could be your shit or the other player's shit. Yep. So if shit dies, you start getting blood points. Yeah.
Nurgle is spreading the contagion by being all over the board.
Yeah.
And that's the resource. And then like the Skelebones, they can't create new units. They still can't create new units. The difference is now if a unit gets wiped, they can bring a unit back.
Yeah.
Which they couldn't do before, because before it was if your unit got wiped, it was just gone. So they had a bunch of abilities that were useless.
Yeah, and there's certain things that are gonna benefit that. There's going to be, like, you can't summon if there's an enemy unit within 9 inches or something crazy like
that. Yeah, so you're actually going to fight over the grave sites in an versus the undead army, because you'll want to get on it with your troops so they can't summon.
Yeah.
And then our models that were previously completely useless, like Morbidex Twiceborn, now is good because...
Morbidex Twiceborn!
Because his ability was pick a new unit of Nurglings within 7 inches, add a Nurgling stand to it. In the old rules, you couldn't do that. You just couldn't. You just did nothing. Now you can be like, boop, and you just make your Nurgling stands bigger, which is sweet.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the least.
It's definitely gonna be a big part of the game. I don't think it's gonna break the game. I think it will.
I just don't like all the rules they're fucking adding. I kind of like the fact that it's a 4-page rule book.
I think it's still gonna be really short when you look. I think when it's presented, it's still gonna be just as short because they're not actually adding rules with the summoning. It's literally just like your faction rules that already exist. They're removing the thing where you have to pay points.
This is where Steve is going to defend stuff, and I'm just gonna be like, I don't like change.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a new edition, so you wouldn't like it.
it's going to change. Like, the thing with the spells, like, so the other thing that they're doing is you now have to pay for spells that exist on the battlefield. Like, they're permanent on the battlefield.
We don't know if those cost points yet.
They do.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. They cost points, and they also cost money, because in order to have the effect on the battlefield, you have to have the model for it.
Yeah, you put the model down.
So, like, the Baelwind Vortex, you have to have a model for this. I mean... Here's going to be the question is, when at a tournament, will Games Workshop allow a homemade version of a spell, or do you have to have the official model for it? That'll be the question.
Well, at any tournament, everything is fine. Like at Adepticon,
Is it Steve? But what about the recent Grand Tournament?
Well, hang on. So here's the ruling for Adepticon. This is the way it works, and I think most tournaments that aren't like officially run by Games Workshop will be this is. They ask you, are all your models workshop? The answer is yes, no. If they're all workshop, then you can be streamed.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. So you can use your custom shit custom shit can still be streamed, but they won't stream competitors' models.
Yeah.
So like if you make your own Baelwind hand in hand with that, the tournament packet rules is anything you make that's custom is okay as long as it's the same footprint.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't have a Baelwind Vortex that has a gigantic fucking base and be like, ha ha ha, nothing can be within 3 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do the Starship Troopers bugs on their stomach with their arms out.
But what about the most recent Grand Tournament debacle?
Though, the fucking nonsense. That tournament, there was like everything about that tournament was nonsense. There was a dude fucking savagely cheating.
This was in UK, right?
The terrain that was just squares of cardboard.
It was styrofoam.
Styrofoam.
So this was in the UK, right?
A shocking display. It was in the UK. Yes.
It was like some games day or something like that. And they decided they were having a 40K grand tournament.
The London Grand Tournament.
There were people asses to dicks all throughout. Like, they had like, what?
Some, it was a huge attendance.
They charged a buttload for it. And I guess it was like people who were like the famous gamers got like the nice tables with all the nice terrain. And everyone else basically got...
The dross.
A 6x4 piece of green felt.
With some things they threw on there.
With some styrofoam they threw on there.
This is a soda can. No. It's a bunker.
It's a bunker. So, yeah, people were very upset about it. I mean, you get what you get. I suppose
when you go to a tournament, when someone goes to a tournament, there's levels of expectations that should be met and set based on the event you're attending.
Yeah.
If I go to a Warhammer tournament and it's free and the terrain is shitty, I don't care. Like, it's fucking free. Like, all it's costing me is my time. I'm going to play some games and have a good time. If I go to a grand tournament, something that's supposed to be like a big deal and costs me like $65 or something to enter, those tables better be fucking nice. Like, they better have good terrain. They better have solid rules packet. Like, that better be an actual like thing. I expect, yeah. And it's about expecting value for what you pay for. So, like, you know, any indie GT, like the bigger ones, like the 2 days, like they're decently expensive. But they're always like, the terrain is nice, the scenarios are nice. They'll usually comp your lunch, like some dude will like barbecue or whatever while you're there. Like, you're paying for that experience, but you're also paying to have a good time on the table.
Yeah,
you know, there's levels. So like, from what it sounded like, they had like some dude in his garage was like, oh, too many people showed up to my Warhammer game, I'm gonna just give you guys what I got so you can also play. Like. And if that was the case, sure, you could have a great time, but that's not the kind of thing you'd expect from a pro run event. Well,
I say to this, screw them for playing in a tournament.
But tournaments are fun.
No, screw them for playing in a tournament.
Tournaments are fun.
I wanted to play on a fancy tournament with lots of nice terrain. Yeah. Look at my beautifully painted fucking stupid ass army.
No, their armies are fucking gross and dumb, and they don't deserve to be playing on nice terrain with that army. I've seen those armies. Those armies are ass. Oh, my Black Templar's army that I painted black and did some like gray dry brushing on deserves to be on better terrain. No, nothing. You don't deserve anything. You deserve to be like just fucking like.
Hey, if they paid their $65, then they deserve the nice tables.
What else are they gonna do with that $65, Steve? Look at them. Look at them. What are they gonna do with that $65?
Buy a Jizz statue?
Exactly.
Buy a Titan?
They're gonna
put half towards Adeptus Titanicus so they can split it with their buddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's about all they're gonna do with that $65. So you know what? Those guys should just take it. Because they don't deserve better.
I love tournaments. They're fun.
Drink my Blood Angels army that I sprayed red and dipped. You know, fuck you.
Do they still dip in the UK?
I don't know.
I haven't seen a legit dipped army in a really long time.
They dip, but they do it whatever the metric conversion of dipping is.
Deep?
Deep. They sent a dip.
It's deep?
They sent a dip.
Mill-a-dip?
They mill a dip. Or sent a dip.
Dill a dip?
Kalama dip.
Nice. I saw someone, what was it? It was a Kings of War army. I was like, this army's actually really good looking. And he's like, yeah, it's dipped. I was like, really? He totally got me. Like, I did not see that it was dipped. I was like, no shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, if dipping is a tool just like anything else, and if you do it correctly, it'll look amazing. However, one out of every 1,000 people do it correctly.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, it is. Having dipped one army in my lifetime, I can say it is fiddly. It was weird, but I can't say that the tester's dull coat makes all the fucking difference.
Yeah. I mean, it absolutely does. It's like a person worthy of being a space marine. It's like one in a million. That's like the person worthy of dipping their models is one in a million. Of milla-dipping their models.
Dilla-dip.
Yeah. I made a... look at my Ultramarines. You've been playing that fucking Ultramarines army for the last 20 years.
I think it's been too long since you've been to a tournament. Because having been to Adepticon, I have to say the standard for army quality is way higher than I remember. Way higher than I remember.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, especially...
Because even the armies in Adepticon that I would say would be, like, the half-assed... Like, there was one dude...
Would you say they were pro-painted, Steve? No,
there was one dude who I would say was pro-painted, because his army was definitely spray-painted flesh spray and washed brown. Like, that was the entire... His army wasn't even based, and I was just like, dude, I wouldn't have let that guy play at Adepticon. So, like, with the exception of that one guy out of the entire tournament, which was, like, there was a lot of people at the tournament, every army was at least, like, all right. Like, I think one step up from him was the army, I think it was Orcs, which was, it wasn't bad. It just was not complete. It was, everything was painted appropriate colors.
Was this Fantasy Orcs or 40K Orcs?
Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
Everything was painted the appropriate
color. Those are Orcs.
Whatever. It was Iron Jaws. Everything was painted, but it was just black colored.
Yeah.
So, like, the orc skin was green, but it was just, you know, flat green. Their teeth were flat bone. They didn't have any depth or shading. But, like, it looked fine. It's like, oh, okay. Like, I see what you did. Like, it's clean. Like,
yeah. I mean, It's
so that was, but that was the outside of the dude who had clearly sprayed his model's flesh and washed them brown. That the next step up was a dude who painted everything.
Yeah,
like that was the that, and those were the two worst.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago also a workshop town. You know, it's like people put a lot of effort and energy into painting their stuff here.
But it's Adepticon. There's a lot of people from out of town.
And there's, yeah, it's true. And there's also a lot, well, that's all, they can't play because there's no one else in their fucking town to fucking play, so all they do is sit there and paint.
They gotta come to a workshop town.
Then they go to Adepticon and it's like, huh, I'm so glad to be playing in this tournament. This is gonna be my first game ever. And the guy's like, fuck!
Seven Hive Tyrants.
Well, the guy he's playing against, he's just like, fuck. Because that's what you do every time that you say, like, you go, this is gonna be my first game ever. Do I have to teach you how to fucking play this game? Because I paid $65 to teach a person how to play fucking 40K.
No, you just body them quickly and move on to round two.
That's very true as well. You just keep on saying, oh, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't do that.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, you got to do a British style where you're super polite. Be like, I believe that's a little inaccurate.
That's not quite how it goes.
That's not exactly how it's supposed to go. I think of fucking Portlandia, like,
oh, yeah.
Where he's like, maybe it's not supposed to be that way.
That works.
Just so polite, he's stumbling over his own words.
Other thing, a last bit of news that we didn't cover last time. Oh, we could two more. There's also the next wave of Forge World Lord of the Rings is actually going to be Battle of Pelennor Fields.
Which is pretty cool.
I think the majority of the figures look like they're just recast from the metals that are going to be now in the Forge World Resin.
Metals, which is fine because those metals were gone.
Yeah.
Like another reason some of those metals were super expensive Lord of the Rings wise is because the models were also gone. Like you couldn't get a Forge World version. That's why like the grail of any like swap meet or... Bits Bash or Bazaar is always metal Lord of the Rings models that are not currently available in resin.
Yeah,
because even the ones that are available in resin, the metal ones will be worth more, but people still there's a premium they'll go to and they won't go past that point because they're like, this is really expensive. I'll settle for the resin.
Yeah,
and like the resin models are nice, like because the Middle Earth sculpts were so simple and smaller than the fantasy and 40K ones. They never had as big of an issue with fine cast as the other ones as the other ranges.
I sold all of my Lord of the Rings stuff with the exception of my metal Sauron because I wanted to use that for my 10mm Battle 5 armies as like
oh, and legit, Sauron, as giant legit, Sauron.
Giant Sauron.
That's cool.
And the one guy I know who plays Lord of the Rings is so pissed because he's like, I just want that one model. I'm like, no, not getting it.
Well, metal Sauron's available everywhere. Just fucking look on eBay. There's always one floating around.
I
sold mine not too long ago. I sold all my Lord of the Rings stuff. It fucking broke my heart to do it, but it's gone.
Yeah. You got the Nazgul though, didn't you?
I do have the Nazgul. I'm currently flip flopping whether or not I'm going to sell those on eBay. I put them up as a buy it now, and see if anyone buys them. But
did you paint them?
We'll see. No. They're just new in box. If they don't sell through this buy it now, I'll probably paint them. I'll try and learn like an actual like really difficult painting technique and do object source lighting on them.
Dude, watch the Vallejo painting video and hobbying videos. They're amazing. It's like Bob Ross for model painting.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's not even because they don't even they play like Enya music. It's like. Yeah, and like, and that's in the background, and then they're like showing you how to like put decals on using their their Microsoft and Microset. You know, it's like you're just like, yes, I understand now.
It's so relaxing.
It's like all of a sudden, like your brain just becomes like the third eye opens up on your forehead. It's like
you just see colors,
and then you try to practically apply it
to
your
taste colors.
Yeah, you try to practically apply it to your own figures, and you
just
they like
explode. They just explode in your hand. You're like, huh. I wasn't even working with anything flammable. It was fire.
It's fire. It's on fire. Oh, man. By the way, it was, I think it was the last podcast.
Aurora Borealis.
Was it the last podcast or the podcast before where we were talking about beveling? I think it was the last podcast where we were talking about beveling the terrain bases.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, Tom is one of the listeners. He's the guy I played Bolt Action with. He's putting together a gorgeous board for like, he's doing like a 1930s Shanghai board, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's been doing this stuff, and he was listening to our cast, and he sends me a picture of, like, this piece that he was doing with, like, 90-degree angles on bevel. And he's like, you guys suck.
Bevel those edges.
Bevel the edges. Round those corners.
Do it. Bevel it. Right now.
Yeah.
Bevel it. Just a little bit.
Bevel it. Yes, and also, probably the best news, the greatest news of this entire news cycle for Games Workshop is that they are doing an audiobook for Go Trek, and he would be voiced by Brian Blessed.
Yes. That's going to be fucking sweet.
It is everything that I could have hoped for and more. It's one of those audio novel, plays.
The audio dramas.
Audio dramas.
Which are all pretty good.
Yeah, they're all right.
They bring back, like, I love audio dramas. I bought, like, some of the old, like, Sherlock Holmes ones, the old radio plays. Mm. And I would listen to them. That's what I used to do.
There's a horse approaching.
What say you, rider?
I come from the king. The beacons of Minas Tirith are lit.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're going to have Brian Blessed.
And Rohan will answer.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, they get Brian Blessed to play Go Trek.
That's going
to
be fucking sick.
It's like, if you could ask for anybody to play Go Trek, that would be my answer.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. My brother asked me this question. He said, if you could have anybody play Wolverine in the new Marvel universe once it happens, not Hugh Jackman, it's got to be someone different.
Can't be Hugh Jackman. Because obviously you just say Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but you can't have Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
If you could have anybody play If you could have anyone play Hugh Jackman, it can't be Hugh Jackman.
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci would be my new Wolverine.
What, really? He's really old now.
Yeah, I guess I would like Joe Pesci from the 80s.
Well, yeah, that would be the ideal.
Yeah.
I'd like Bob Hoskins from the 80s to play my Wolverine.
Ooh, that'd be good too.
Yeah.
I don't know, let me think. Who would I have?
It's got to be someone current. It can't be like someone from the past.
Who would I have play Wolverine now?
Like, you can't have Peter O'Toole play Wolverine. For those listening at home, both those words are slang for penis. What
the fuck? that's actually really difficult.
He threw out a great
It's extra difficult because I am trying to consider an actor who isn't already in a fucking Marvel movie.
Yeah, that's
an extra hard part. Like, that's the challenge mode.
He threw out one because I'll throw it out there. He said Richard Armitage, who played Thorin from in The Hobbit.
Oh yeah, I could see that
because
that's pretty good.
Because apparently he's playing Wolverine in an audio drama that's available online. Like, you could buy it. It's like
No, Richard Armitage, I could see that.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty good. That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's solid.
I approve of that.
Jason Momoa could do it.
Yeah, but you know the thing is he looks really greasy.
He does.
I like Jason Momoa. He was great in Stargate Atlantis. I loved him in that. And you know, he's
obviously Khal Drogo.
He's great as Khal Drogo. He's like the perfect Khal Drogo. But he's a big dude, first of all.
I think he's actually too big to be Wolverine.
Exactly. Like, you need someone who's a little shorter.
Yeah.
Like, you need like Tom Cruise, like height wise, to play Wolverine. Yeah, so it's difficult.
That's a high level challenge.
Get Jet Li.
Jet Li.
Hello, I am the Wolverine.
Jet Li's awesome.
Now I'm going to kick your ass.
I don't know why he sounds Mexican.
I have no idea.
That's a Family Guy bit where he's Jet Li is doing all the action and everything. And he's like, okay, now where is my daughter? Because Jet Li sounds like a little tiny man. Yes, he's a tiny man.
He's a little tiny man.
Do we get all the major news?
I think so. I think we have everything. Do we talk about Wifrip? There's a new Wifrip coming.
Yeah, but we don't have any news yet on it. Right. I don't want to talk about Wifrip.
There's a fourth edition coming.
Yeah, we've talked about that numerous times.
Okay,
it's coming. Wifrip's coming.
It's coming.
But we don't.
It's coming.
I don't want to say anything about it because we don't know what is what it is. What it is.
Free RPG Day is coming up soon.
Oh yeah.
I think it actually might be next weekend. Wait. I don't know. I gotta make sure I get to Games Plus at store opening so I can get fucking Eldritch Cock. It's the companion book to Vaginas Are Magic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cover has a rooster.
So you don't have to pay $200 for it.
The cover has a rooster with a wizard hat and a fucking star wand. Looks awesome. I can't wait.
Right as it opens, you're like, I gotta get my cock. Gotta get the Eldritch cock.
Give me the Eldritch cock. Hurry it up. Give me the cock. Well, if I can't, if for some reason I get blown out and don't get it, I'll buy it immediately on eBay because that's what I had to do with Vaginas Are Magic, and Vaginas Are Magic was like $20 that day, on for free RPG day, and I was totally fine paying $20 for it because it's actually a very fucking nice hardcover book, but like now I'm sure it's super expensive, and like hilariously enough, they put their new They put their new magic rules into Vaginas Are Magic. Like, that book is almost mandatory to run Lamentations.
Well, there you go.
Which is pretty funny.
Before we go, though, I did. We mentioned we were talking about Half Price Books earlier. I did stop by there today, and I picked up some interesting...
Is it some tasteful nudes?
I picked up some tasteful nudes.
Hey, when are you going to bring back the D&D trivia?
Oh, you want me to bring that back? I can bring it back. Yeah, I
think people liked it.
I found this. I thought this was funny. Martin Hackett's Fantasy Gaming, A Guide to Fantasy Roleplay and Tabletop Battles.
Oh, introducing Magic and Monsters, a fantasy gaming system.
This is a... I don't know when this book was published. It looks like 2007, but this is obviously like a reprint because it's British Library cataloging and publication data. Because if you look at the pictures, this is obviously way from before 2007.
Oh, shit.
Like, these kids.
Yeah, there's some 80s-erific pictures in the book.
Yeah. See, I'm a sucker for, like, this type of stuff where you find...
Oh, look at those old fucking Lord of the Rings models. Yeah. That's sick.
Where you find old-ass, like, guides to role-playing and stuff, like... Back when people were like, we can actually write this down and make like a Dungeons and Dragons. Like, the British got really upset that the Americans set the pace on Dungeons and Dragons and they couldn't compete. So they tried to come up with their own thing. Then it would always be like mages and muttons and stuff like that.
That's so weird.
Mages and mutton chops.
Look at all those fucking tables.
Oh, it's all about the tables.
There are tables everywhere.
Yeah, I have a nice little collection of weird books. But this one's from 2007 and I was like, this is weird. That's weird.
Yeah, this is an odd little book, A Guide to Fantasy Roleplay and Tabletop Battles.
And then I also found Silent Death.
Oh my god, what even is
Silent
this?
Silent Death. You don't know what Silent Death is?
No.
Silent Death is a spaceship game. But it's, yeah, these are like source books for like the...
Good lord.
For the Silent Death.
Made by Combat Express, the giant gaming company that's still around, Combat Express.
Look at this. Look at these.
That's a lot of tables.
It's a lot of tables. These are each individual ship, so you can remember
them. This
looks
like Rifts.
It's like Rifts for tabletop spaceship games. People love fucking Silent Death, which is the only reason I picked this up is because I knew I could probably flip them.
Yeah, I've never heard of Silent Death.
Oh, ever. You
although
fail.
this one's weird because it's got a fucking Arthurian knight on the cover.
That's the Sigurd Archdiocese. I don't know what that means, but I'm assuming it has something to do with religion.
Probably something to do with wizards or knights.
And I also got this.
Heavy gear. I know heavy gear.
You know heavy gear. The Terra Nova technology. God, look at all this. Like, I this is like where I can't understand how people play these games, because you look at a Games Workshop rule book, right? And it's literally like six pages of rules, and everything else is fluff. You go to any other game system, these source books are 99% rules.
Just fucking the crunchiest, like, tables and fucking percentile rolls, and there's just, like, stats here and there.
I mean, even Dungeons & Dragons, like, when you buy a Dungeons & Dragons book, I would say 85% of it is solid rules. The rest is just a tiny bit of fluff. But this, like, these, like, heavy gear book, it's, like, it's all crunchy rules.
Yeah, look at this. There's a cutaway view here. It has fucking 50-plus areas that are of this mech.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of cool as, like, a technical manual, but really useless as a fucking rule book.
Yeah. I know. It's, like, I could easily sit there and read this, and it's, like, I'll be okay. I'll never have to look at this ever again because this is
although I think
useless.
This is a RPG supplement.
Yeah, I think
so.
It is.
Having
yeah.
that much crunch is probably okay because then like you could just use that as like MacGuffins or whatever and be like just like grab their like mech and be like
you got shot in the cargo crotch.
Yeah,
the crotch cargo.
The generator pump housing's fried, so you're gonna have to get someone to fix that for you.
Jesuit the pump housing. I have one of those. 10,000 credits.
I've also got a discount sensor rail. Oh, and your knee block structural member's taking some damage, so I'm going to need to fix that up, too.
Remember when Qui-Gon Jinn went to the first place and he was like, yeah, I have that. No one else has that. And Qui-Gon Jinn was like, no one else has that. Well, screw this. He didn't even shop around.
No, he didn't.
He went like, he's a really, terrible Jedi.
He really didn't. All of the Jedi in the prequels were terrible it's Jedi, like, except Sam Jackson, because he says... This party's over.
It's not like he even was like Obi-Wan was like, They're the only ones who have it. That doesn't sound right. Have you been to any other stores?
Have you been to any of the junk traders on the junk trader fucking planet?
Yeah.
Have you been to Tashi Station? I've heard they've got power converters.
That would have been the best if it was like a power converter is screwed up. And it's like, there's like Watto's, and then right next to it says like Tashi Power Station.
That is why you don't let someone handle the whole thing unless they're a genius. And there's no geniuses left like that.
No.
There really isn't. Like no current director is at that level where they can just do everything. I don't think so. Maybe like for like a low key thing. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say like there's a lot of auteur directors who could like handle that.
Yeah, but not a blockbuster like Star Wars.
Not a blockbuster. No.
Like there's a lot of like smaller films where like Guillermo del Toro's obviously.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. He can do everything, but his films are always like they have like a level where.
And even like those guys like Guillermo del Toro, they don't edit their films themselves. They get an editor. They get a cinematographer. They get these people to do it.
Yes.
Like Lucas is the one that's like, I'm gonna do it all myself.
Yes. Yeah. No one can do that.
And the people that he hires to do like cinematography, just like, is this okay, George?
Yeah. Does this look good to you, George?
This look good to you, George?
They're friends.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. George Lucas does kind of sound like a really old drunk Kermit the Frog.
Let's,
by the power of myth,
we're gonna go over here and.
Like to remind the judge he's never been in a Spielberg movie. I was in Gremlins.
Gremlins 2.
I'll allow it.
He's only getting Gremlins for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this in the last cast that Celebration's gonna be in Chicago next year?
What Celebration?
Yeah. Okay, so I haven't talked about this. Star Wars Celebration is gonna be in Chicago.
No.
It's a big fucking deal. My Star Wars nerd friends.
The dude who sits in front of me at work is going to lose his goddamn mind. Yeah. He is like, he's the most Star Wars nerd I think I've known. I think he's the biggest Star Wars nerd I've ever actually known in person, because like he's so nerdy about Star Wars. It's like a trope. Like he's got Star Wars shirt, Star Wars hat every day.
That's sad.
His car has Star Wars shit on it. His like he's even got like the Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon like sunscreen thing.
Nah.
Star Wars tattoos. Like dude is like 100% like in the war of the stars.
Do you ever sit there behind him and go?
Actually, no. What I do is I go up over the cube and I just really quietly go, Darth Maul, Darth Maul, Darth Maul, Darth Maul, and I start going, and he'll just turn around in his chair and look at me.
Are you planning on seeing Solo anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. I don't think I'll see it in theaters.
Okay. Well, after the cast, I have to talk about spoilers with you because I don't want to do it on the cast. Because
we might go this weekend.
All right. So maybe I won't spoil
to the drive-in because we might want to see Deadpool 2 again, so we can see Solo in Deadpool 2.
Motherfucking Deadpool.
Oh, so good.
I didn't.
Holy shit! It's the Juggernaut. Holy fucking shit! It's the Juggernaut.
I was Deadpool 2 was fine. I like the original
Deadpool
better,
2.
But
I love Deadpool 2 so much better than the original.
But they're so wait, what was I talking about?
Celebration.
Oh, yeah, Celebration. Yeah, so Celebration's going to be in Chicago next year. All the Star Wars nerds in Chicagoland are losing their shit. And like my friend Chris, who's the hugest Star Wars nerd on the planet. I mean, he's like, you know how you got all your cabinets and like, you know how I have all my cabinets full of minis? You go down to his basement and his cabinets are all just filled with Star Wars memorabilia. And I'm like, you didn't paint that shit. Get it out of your cabinet.
Nice.
I did paint a Boba Fett for him. But he's losing his mind and he's like, no one could have predicted this. I'm like, no one really cared to predict it. And he was like, and I was like, yeah, because Lucas is here. Because Lucas loves the Chicago ladies. And I got George Lucas is going to show up. He's going to be like, hi, I'm George Lucas. I'm here at Chicago.
George Lucas, you suck.
Jar Jar Binks.
I want to go to just heckle George Lucas.
Heckle George
Lucas. Lucas, you suck. Misa Tinkin, you suck.
You go to the planet's core.
Brian Blessed also. But yeah. Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to show you from this.
From your hall?
From my hall. Look at this.
What in God's hell
the
is this?
The Legends of Valthiar by Matthew Funk. By Valthiar Games, Inc. This looks like it's someone's RPG system that he self-published. Now, before I show it to you, I want to show you something. It is signed number 2 by Matthew Funk.
Wow.
Yes, on clearance for $3. But still, signed by Matthew Funk.
That's a cool name.
This is number 2 of all of the Legends of Valthiar ever signed.
It's a second signed copy.
It's a second signed copy. This may be from Matthew Funk's own personal collection.
He's even self-inserted himself as the DM in the example.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'll just let him go for now. Do I know who he is? Matthew. No. You've lived in Arcovia for 10 years now, and the only other source you know is Les Salar, the man who built the library at which you work. Let's see what we got here. Advantages, disadvantages.
That's some sweet, like, Old Hammer art going on in there, though.
Oh, yeah. It's clearly, like, his buddy who, like, drew the pictures for him. I actually really... One of the things I do enjoy about some of the old, like, weird RPGs that you find, like, there's always, like this is not a professional artist who drew this. Yeah. This is probably the author's friend.
Yeah.
And well, it's like, all right.
Well, The Legends of Valthier features a very unique take on fantasy genre, a freeform imagination-based magic system, an open-ended combat system, a unique and highly detailed world history and geography, an easy-to-use D20 system, several unique races, and a explanation of role-playing for beginners in a low, low price of $19.95. This is all from the back, by the way.
Speed factor, 25. Hit points factor, 25.
Whoa. Is that high?
I have no idea.
Yes. I don't know, but I saw this and I was like, this is interesting. I must have this for my collection.
Holy shit, combat has a lot of steps.
Yeah, because most people who self-publish their game love the crunch.
Yeah, but the crunch, I don't know.
I understand that you don't need the crunch, but... The people who go through enough effort to create their own RPG system want to put in crunch.
I like hidden crunch. I've always been a big fan of hidden crunch.
Yeah, but you're not. You have also never self-published your own RPG system. You'd like to, but you never have.
Nah, there's too many. Like, I think it would just be financially pointless. Like, I wouldn't get anywhere with it. Like, it wouldn't matter. It would be like a whole lot of effort on my point for no reason. Like,
yeah.
trying to get into the market these days with like your own self-published thing is like.
You'd be like, and if I self-published, you'd be like, Joe, this is an RPG system. I'm like, of course it is. You'd be like, no, it's just Uno.
Yeah.
You just self-published the rules for Uno.
You made Uno.
Yeah.
I mean, the cards are illustrated by you, I guess. This one appears to be two stick figures having sex, but...
No, they'd be... They're like, why does everything look like 1990s Rob Liefeld drawings, Joe?
They're just scans of Rob Liefeld drawings.
Because that's where I learned how to draw, was copying Rob Liefeld. So all of my artwork looks like Rob. I grew up in the 90s. What do you expect? He was the hottest artist of the day.
I think Todd McFarlane was hotter than...
Well, I mean, Rob Liefeld was one of the hottest artists of the
day. Yes, I'd agree with that.
Yes, but I mean, I was never good enough to copy Todd McFarlane. Well, first of all, I couldn't create enough shadows to create a Todd McFarlane thing.
For as much shit as I like to give Todd McFarlane, that dude can fucking draw.
Yeah, and... Jim Lee, I could do Jim Lee. All I have to do is draw like normal artwork and put little lines everywhere. And that's Jim Lee drawing.
Hey, more tables.
More tables.
More tables. You know what? I have to say, like, there is one thing that makes this completely unacceptable. There's no character sheet.
There's no character sheet?
There's no fucking character sheet. Well, how are you going to self-publish your own RPG and not put a character sheet?
Strength, endurance, pseudo. 30,000. I don't even know what that means.
There was somebody who says there was one of the entries for a monster. It says weapons none per se.
There's none per se.
Yeah, I was like, why would you put in per se?
Well, Matthew Funk, we have your copy.
I enjoyed it.
We have enjoyed it on that one.
I like it.
All right, so
that was definitely from the era of like the wild RPGs like appearing out of nowhere.
Yeah. When was this published? Let's see.
That has to be like 98.
2014.
Yeah, I would be shocked, but that's got to be like a 98. That's a 98er if I ever saw one, or 96 maybe.
It doesn't really say.
It might be on the back.
2001, it looks like.
Okay.
That's what the art is labeled as, 2001.
All right, well, I mean, I guess the 98, so it's close.
Yeah, I mean, it's close enough. And it also says, see www.valthiar.com for mailing instructions.
Oh, shit.
Where's my phone? Like, let's see if we can find valthiar.com.
Let's go.
Ooh, I got an eBay bid on something. Let me see that really quick. Oh, sweet. That's going to sell finally.
NPCs.
Hold on. Valthiar.com. Oh, sorry, Safari cannot open. Let's see. Maybe it's just because.
Is it gone?
It might be. Hold on.
It's VALTHIAR.
I'm aware of how to spell Valthiar.
Hey, I didn't know.
Oh, they have a YouTube channel, though. They have the Kingdom of Velthyr YouTube. There's a Velthyr Twitch. Legends of Velthyr, Fishing for Interest, online role-playing from July of 2004. What's your favorite RPG other than D&D? I wonder if someone said Velthyr. Maybe. Someone said Rifts. Not me, but I've heard, has anyone made an RPG from the ground up? From Reddit. From March 16, 2018. Not me, but a friend wrote his own system called Legends of Velthyr. He made it all the way through printing a couple 100 copies.
Nice.
But then lost interest in the project and never bothered with distribution. Well, your friend's name was Matthew Funk. And
it's a cool name.
I have one of the few copies.
You have the second copy.
I have the second copy ever signed by Matthew Funk of The Legends of Velthyr. So there we go. All right, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can find me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes, where I put up the stuff and people talk about People talk about how they want to see me topless.
Put up the stuff.
You could also, the best way to help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Listen to our sister podcast. You can play on podcast, which is all about Steve playing video games, and Steve and Pat talking video games. Pat's really excited about E3.
Pat's the only one excited about E3.
Every year it's with the damn E3 from Pat. It's going to be like, oh,
yeah. It was great. He was like, we're going to talk about E3. And like everyone else in the room was like,
He comes over, he was over on Memorial Day. We just had we grilled up some hot dogs. And he was like, yeah, so you're going to be watching E3? Like, no. what? I'm going to see the next Assassin's Creed game coming out.
It's said. He was the only one excited.
Well, are you excited about Fallout 76?
I don't know. Like, it was annoying as shit. They fucking had a huge ass build up to a fucking teaser.
Yeah, well, that's what they do nowadays.
I fucking hate that shit. Like, show me fucking something.
Yeah, so that's going to be on Play On Podcast. You also can listen to Deconstructing Daycare.
I did like the teaser, though. The music was good.
Ba-ba-bum-bum-bum.
Oh, yeah, it was Country Road.
Ba-ba-bum-bum-bum.
West Virginia. My mama.
Country Highway.
Let's go.
Country Road.
Yeah.
Well, we got... Thank God I'm a country boy. Deconstructing Daycare, which is all about kitty cartoons taken from the perspective of a parent.
Taking a kid show very seriously.
And you also have the Nippon Hour, also known as
Weebtown. We do things sometimes.
Yeah, they do things sometimes. They play some video games, Dragon Ball Z or whatever you're playing at the time. They're going to be playing some new Smash Brothers probably.
No.
You can be playing Smash Brothers. You play some Fortnite. You're playing Fortnite.
You gotta do the Fortnite, bro.
And you can also follow me on the Instagram, Game Classy Joe. Steve, do you have an Instagram?
I do. It's Command Throw.
Okay. And you do put stuff on there?
I put pictures of my bento lunches and sometimes models.
So okay, but you do put up pictures of your minis.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And Cole has hers,
The Brush Bunny. Yes. Brush Bunny Studios.
You could go up there and see her models as well. She's working on Chaos Doors.
It's true.
Are these for yourself or they a commission? They're a commission. So you could see a commission of Chaos Doors.
Indeed.
Steve, until next time.
The plagued lands lie along the northwestern portion of the civilized area. The plagued lands hold their name for three main reasons. First, the Dexlonic Plague originated in this area and was extraordinarily devastating to all the area's former inhabitants. Secondly, ever since the fall of the Valthian Empire, the area has been plagued by all manners of monsters and demons. Thirdly, the plagued lands emanate an aura of sheer evil.
He used the word thirdly.
Game Classy.